The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Forensic Science Ireland processed more than 24,000 cases last year, an increase of 85% from 2018. The work has assisted in identifying the perpetrators of numerous crimes, including murder and drug trafficking. The FSSI are due to move to a new state-of-the-art facility in Backweston Science Campus, where they will continue their work with 200 staff and a number of seconded members of the Garda Technical Bureau. So we are joined now by Chris Enright, Director General of FSI, Forensic Science Ireland, who's going to tell us all about their work and their annual report. Chris, good morning and welcome.
Morning, Pat.
Now, it's a lot of work. 24,000 cases.
24,000 cases reported in a single year, and over 70,000 exhibits. So many of the cases that we get in, they'll have multiple exhibits associated with them, and it could range from a submission related to a sexual assault, from a murder. It could be a sample for a reference profile for DNA or for a fingerprint, or it could relate to a very significant drug seizure. So very busy year, huge contribution from our staff. They've done really tremendous work over the course of the year in very difficult and challenging circumstances. So I'm very proud to represent their work.
Now, I mentioned some members of the Garda, the Technical Bureau, being seconded to you. How does it work? What's the division of labour between what the Garda do at a scene and what you do in your headquarters?
The Garda Technical Bureau have a lot of expertise and responsibility for crime scene management. So if there's a murder scene that has to be attended, anywhere around the country, typically on Garda Síochána call in the technical bureau to manage the scene and bring specific expertise in terms of mapping, crime scene evaluation, evidence gathering. They will take that responsibility. Very capable and professional group of people. What happens then is on occasion we're called if there's depending on the nature of the crime scene, there could be a significant amount of blood pattern analysis to be done. We have a lot of expertise in that area, and we'll be called as experts to attend the scene and do a characterization of blood pattern analysis. And then some of that evidence is gathered and brought back to the laboratory for analysis. Now, in 2019, we integrated two of the laboratory services from the Garda Technical Bureau, that's fingerprints and documents and handwriting, and they're working side by side with scientific and analytical staff within the lab. They're part of the same teams. There's a significant overlap in some of the technology and capability from some of the other services that we're doing within the laboratory. So they're working side by side as scientific and technical professionals. Serving the justice sector.
Now, most of us watch these crime dramas, and we, you know, whether it's CSI, which really brought forensic science into the popular culture, I suppose. But in virtually any crime drama, the forensic science is illustrated and used in some way. The science behind all of this, I mean, for a spontaneous crime, the criminal is not maybe thinking of how can I avoid leaving traces. But in more sophisticated crime, that's precisely what the criminal is trying to do.
That's often the case. But regardless, traces are often left. If you go back 20, 30 years ago, a blood stain the size of a 2 cent or 5 cent coin would really be necessary for us to be able to extract a workable, viable DNA profile, which might form the basis for very useful evidence. Right now, it really invisible traces. You don't need to see them. It could be just the size of 10 to 15 cells would be sufficient for us to create a viable profile from. So technology has evolved very, very significantly over the last 20 years. What we can do now with trace level analysis is just far more significant and far more powerful than what could be done before.
Is much of this challenged in the court? I mean, again, we see these courtroom dramas, and a slick lawyer will try to make a fool of the expert.
It's often challenged. As you know, we've an adversarial system here in Ireland. A scientist will attend court and present the evidence they have in an objective and reasonable manner. And often the scientists will need to present alternative hypotheses for the evidence that they're actually presenting so that it's truly objective. We're subject to cross-examination. On occasion, the defence can get in a defence scientist to challenge the evidence. The critical thing for us is to make sure we have access to the most current, most recent research that informs our evidence. That's critical. And we do that by, number one, participating in European networks. We're members of the European Network of Forensic Science Institutes and the Association of Forensic Service Providers in between the UK and Ireland. And we're active contributors to relevant research on forensic science. So when we go into court, we're equipped with the latest knowledge, latest information that allows us to be robust in what we're saying.
Now, some of the most dramatic cases involved drug seizures of very high value, and they're the ones that make the newspapers. I mean, smaller quantities may not even be reported in the newspapers and on radio and television. But sometimes it's the novelty of the discovery which can catch the public imagination. Tell me about cocaine disguised as coal.
Yeah, so this is a very interesting case that we're still working on, in fact, but occurred last year. And it really the fruits of some outstanding work from the Garda National Drugs and Organised Crime Bureau and various police forces around the world.
Okay, now people might think that you just get a lump of cocaine, white rock, and spray it black. That's not what they did.
No, that's not what they did. So there was a discovery of thousands of bags of what appeared to be coal on two different containers. Certainly we were involved in terms of going out to that scene, doing some sampling and bringing it back into the laboratory. What we established was that there was quite complex chemical processing involved to chemically disguise the cocaine so that it appeared like regular charcoal or coke.
So this was a chemical process, not a dyeing process.
No, we've seen before, say, for example, a pair of jeans in a suitcase soaked in liquid cocaine and dried out. So some kind of physical concealment of the cocaine. In this particular occasion, it was matrixed. The cocaine was chemically bound, mixed, and formed in the shape of coal, and very advanced and sophisticated concealment processes involved in this, requiring chemists, chemical engineers. This is not a straightforward process.
And must be a fairly significant location as well. I mean, this is not being done in someone's garage. Being done on scale.
Absolutely.
Now, other things that you've come across, you mentioned the jeans, which I think is very novel, liquid cocaine and then dry them out. And they look faded and very fashionable, but in fact, they're laden with cocaine. What else have you discovered in terms of the way the crooks are trying to get round the expertise that you guys have?
Yeah, so one of the other, certainly the drugs case types that we've seen increasingly over the course of the year is things like edibles, jellies, plant material that's sprayed with synthetic cannabinoids to produce a far more potent and dangerous drug compared to regular cannabis. So we've had a number of discoveries over the course of the year of new synthetic cannabinoids that show up in all sorts of forms. More recently, we've seen it in Dorito chips, just sprayed onto chips, so quite dangerous to innocent bystanders
who happens to come across these and use them not knowing what
absolutely
is contained therein. Now, cold case review, obviously forensic science develops all the time. As you say, it only takes a few cells now to get a DNA sample, whereas before it took a lot more. Does your forensic development inform the guard these review, you know, whether or not they review? Do you guys get in touch and say, by the way, we have a new technique, there may be cases that you'd like to look at again because of this development or that development?
Yeah, so it can be initiated from either side. So on many occasions over the course of the year, the cold case team within An Garda Síochána will make contact with a view to reviewing a historic file. Equally, there's been occasions where, based on the knowledge some of our scientists have, they will know that the technology advances could be of particular benefit in this particular case.
Okay, because they've worked on it before and they realise they haven't got the tools then, they have the tools now.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. That's not always the case. So it's not always that an advance in technology will be the difference in a particular cold case review.
Yeah.
Sometimes it depends on the evidence that was gathered at the time.
And how that was minded over the years.
That can happen also. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, you are moving to a new campus. Tell me about the campus.
So OPW, the Office of Public Works, are finalising a construction on a fabulous building in Backweston, County Kildare. So it's just outside Selbridge on the border of Kildare and Dublin. It's going to contain about 13,000 square metres of space, and it's going to have 17 different search rooms, meeting space, room for us to grow and expand to meet the demands that are being placed on us. I mentioned around the advances in technology that we've witnessed over the last number of years. So it's allowed us to be much more sensitive and go after smaller and smaller traces of forensic evidence. What it also allows us to do is look at more complex mixed profiles. So your lovely studio here, no matter how clean it is, it's going to contain DNA traces from several people that have been in here over the course of the day. So what we can do now is look at mixed profiles, but you have to be exceptionally careful around contamination.
Yeah.
So these search rooms are designed with positive air pressure to make sure that the search environment is very, very contained and protected from outside sources of contamination.
We know that DNA has been around for decades now, but obviously the techniques have been refined, better to get samples from smaller quantities, as you've said. What about DNA databases and GDPR and all the rest of that?
Yeah. So our database has been up and running now since 2015 and has been really effective. So since the database was launched, we've had over 5,000 investigations that have been assisted through the database alone. And these are our cold hits where there may not necessarily be a suspect identified, but the database has generated the intelligence and the links which assist significantly
and
in the investigation.
Suppose you find that you isolate the DNA of the perpetrator of some crime. Is there some way in which that is flagged? Should that perpetrator be arrested, for example, for something else entirely? Does it automatically flag, we got him?
I'll give you an example. So in 2016, a case was submitted to Forensic Science Ireland with a we call them crime stains. Essentially, it's a sample recovered from a sexual assault examination. There was no known suspect at the time, but we were able to recover DNA, load it up onto the database, and it didn't result in a match. In 2019, a second sexual assault case was submitted into the laboratory. We generated a profile, and it matched the first individual. No name at this point. But we started exchanging information through what's called a Prüm agreement. It's international arrangement where you can share information across DNA databases across Europe and get match information back quickly. We started exchanging with Austria in 2019, and an individual on the Austrian database matched the two
hits that we had
on the Irish database. That person has subsequently been arrested and put before the courts. So how we go about managing our DNA database in Ireland and how we go about exchanging internationally is subject to quite rigorous DNA legislation. Our legislation is relatively new, just since 2014, and it incorporates the latest thinking on the balance between personal data protection, human rights, and at the same time allowing for progress in criminal investigations.
Finally, I should ask you, Chris, when do you hope to turn the key in the new development? I mean, it's yet to be constructed.
It's under construction and it's really been finalised. It's that final few percentage points where the laboratories are being finalised, the search rooms are being cleaned down, and some of the outstanding reception areas and that are being done. So we certainly hope to have the keys in September and September, October. At some point afterwards, when we're up and running, we'd love to have you out.
That would be a great day out for me, yeah. I have to say.
What I would say, Pat, is this is a fascinating field. And it really is a great field to be working in, a great organization to be working in. There's a real sense of purpose and impact associated with our work. We have super staff, the really strong sense of commitment and professionalism and ambition to do more. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And we're recruiting. So we're recruiting at all grades. We're going to be hiring scientists and analysts, and we'll be advertising those roles very, very, very shortly. But not all of the roles that we have require a scientific background. We're also going to be looking for administrative roles. So the 70,000 cases are exhibits that I mentioned earlier on. They have to be process submitted. We have to maintain continuity of evidence associated with those. So what we're also very interested in is getting in general civil service grades through the mobility program. If anybody is interested, apply through the mobility program for the Department of Justice, code 46, and we'd love to see you out in Back Weston.
Very good. Well, I'm looking forward to my visit there whenever it may happen. Chris Enright, Director General of Forensic Science Ireland, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.